Insider trading charges on a massive scale.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Today will be a special day for New York-based hedge fund Galleon. Their manager was arrested Friday on charges of insider trading. This morning, he'll speak to his employees. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from New York with more on the biggest insider trading case ever in the hedge fund industry. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Bill.
Tell us about this case.
Well, this guy is Raj Rajaratnam. He runs a hedge fund called Galleon, as you said. And a big part of Galleon's strategy is to go out and get information to act on. But authorities think that some of that information that was acted on was gotten illegally, was insider trading. And they've got some wiretap evidence to prove it. They say that Rajaratnam and his colleagues would simply call up contacts who would give them insider information. Now, the director of the SEC's Division of Enforcement said Rajaratnam was never a master of the universe. He was just a master of the Rolodex. And Bill, perhaps most importantly, he said this should be seen as a warning across the hedge fund industry that the SEC is watching.
And the SEC has come under some scrutiny itself for not doing its job. So are we expecting sharper teeth now?
Yeah, well, if the SEC dog may have a little more bite with its bark when it comes to the hedge fund industry. Now, hedge funders have also always been able to say that when authorities raise red flags about insider trading, they say, oh, no, we do such high volume trading that it's just a coincidence what you're seeing. There's nothing suspicious here. But what we can learn from this case is that this new software that the SEC is using to identify suspicious activity is indeed working.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson live in New York. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Let's do the numbers. Major European markets are about 1% higher this morning, and Asian stocks were mostly higher, too. This follows Wall Street's boom last week, with the Dow gaining more than 1%, crossing the 10,000 mark, then dropping below it again. The Dow closed Friday at 9,995. Last week, Goldman Sachs said so far this year it has set aside $16.7 billion for pay and bonuses. Yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press, Senate Banking Committee Chair Chris Dodd added his voice to the chorus of umbrage.
These firms on Wall Street need to understand that what they're doing by providing these bonuses, particularly when they receive so much federal money, is an outrage in the country.
So why does Fortune magazine senior editor Alan Sloan say the bonus controversy is a distraction from the real outrage? Let's ask him. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Bill.
In what way are bonuses a sideshow?
So much coverage and passion has gone into the bonuses that people have forgotten what's really going on, which is there has been, as part of the government's trying to bail out the financial system and homeowners, an enormous transfer of wealth from the savers of America to the people who haven't saved. And in the process, Wall Street is making a fortune.
Tell me more about that. How is Wall Street making a fortune on the backs of savers?
It goes like this. If you have looked at interest rates lately, they are very low. Now, if you're on Wall Street and you use a lot of what they call leverage, which is a fancy term for borrowed money, and borrowed money gets much cheaper, what happens to your profits? Do they go up or they go down if the cost of borrowing money goes down?
They've been doing pretty well.
I believe that's right. And that's a major factor in a lot of the numbers we're now seeing out of Wall Street.
But wait a minute, weren't savers getting really low rates before the financial crisis hit? In fact, I thought low interest rates, that's one of the things that got us into trouble.
Well, there were low interest rates around the year 2000, the last bailout, which was bailing out the banks and the financial system from the tech bubble. But then the only rates that were really, really down were the short-term rates, which are the ones the Federal Reserve controls.
Well, Congress can tamp down bonuses, but what can be done about low interest rates that the government is telling us this economy needs to live?
The answer is nothing. And it may well be that as a society, we're better off with low interest rates than with high interest rates because I don't want to see the financial system collapse. But what's been happening is there's been a massive transfer of wealth from the savers of America to the spenders of America.
So, in other words, it's even worse than we thought.
Yeah, it's worse than you thought, and it's different than you thought. But if you're thinking, you're way ahead of the game because most people aren't.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com.
In New York City, cab drivers are not allowed to use a cell phone while they drive. Handheld, hands-free, doesn't matter. But the Taxi and Limousine Commission says that ban is not working and they want to crack down even harder. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tight has our story.
Despite the existing cell phone ban, New Yorkers like Lisa Zicanella are used to cab rides peppered with conversation, the driver's conversation.
I don't think that they should use the phone at all while they're driving.
The Taxi and Limousine Commission agrees. Under its new proposals, any driver reported for cell phone violations three times in 15 months loses their license. Veteran cab driver Spiros Solangos says that's going too far. He says he hardly uses his hands-free phone and never when he has a fare. He's skeptical of the city's motives.
And this is a good excuse, I believe, for the city of New York to make more money and give more tickets to the taxi drivers. This doesn't mean that it's for safety. No, I don't think so, no.
And then we were interrupted.
Let me see what's going on. I told you 100% that my wife is going to be on the phone.
She was, but yes. Even under the new rules, he wouldn't be in trouble for answering. He was parked. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
This is Marketplace Morning Report. Hope you'll visit us online. We've got a musical feature up there now. Music to liven up your downturn. It's called Recession Rocks. That's at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.